I'll be too nervous to. I'll probably lost for words.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Lost for Words betting podcast. I'm joined again this week by Bradley Todd. Brad, hello.
Good evening, Tom. How are we doing?
Yeah, good to have you back, mate. Good to have you back on after a week away, settling with the newborn.
Not yours. Not mine, no. Not brothers.
Newly minted uncle. So very exciting news. Obviously, congratulations on that.
Cheers, dude.
Set striker close for you last week, Brad, I suppose.
Close.
I don't know if that's a word, but, you know, he was...
As close as you can get to Scheffler.
It's ridiculous, isn't it, at this point, what Scheffler and Nelly Corder are both doing. It's obviously been well documented. People are listening to the podcast to know that. But I can't quite make my mind up whether this dominance is good for golf or not. I think it depends who it is. Like, I think if Rory McIlroy was doing this, it would be really good. And if it's Scheffler, and there's nothing wrong with Scheffler, like, people just don't seem to, like, if it was Spieth or someone like that, it'd be huge for the PGA Tour.
He just spoke about his business, doesn't he, Scheffler? Yeah. About really not giving too much away. It's like, it's just business as usual. I really like it, actually. You know, he doesn't get soaked up by the media. Yeah, I'm all for it.
I think in terms of just purely marvelling at a sporting achievement, it's incredible. Both him and Nelly, I think Nelly's been a leading light for the LPGA. I just think of Scheffler, like, I just want more people to sort of like him for who he is. Like, I think it's like you don't all need to be Spieth that's, you know, constantly chatting away whilst hitting the golf. Yeah. You don't need to be Rory, who's a bit divisive and comes out and talks a lot. And and that's, again, nothing against either of those two people. Just the obvious two comparisons, I suppose, with Tiger. Like, you don't all need to be those types of players. So he's doing the same stuff as these guys, right? It's just
he doesn't create any noise with it. He just gets on with it, and he has his faith, and that keeps him going. I think that's it in a nutshell, really, isn't it? And he just lets the rest takes care of itself.
Didn't I read that, like, the gap between Scheffler and Rory in 1 and 2 is bigger than the gap between Rory and Tiger in, like, 750 seconds or something ridiculous in the world rankings? Like, it's unbelievable, the gap now that he's created at world number one. Obviously helped by, you know, Rahm and people like that going away as well.
Of course.
But yeah, it's good to see. It's good to see someone being dominant. He'll obviously be off for a couple of weeks soon when the baby comes. But that's everyone's opportunity to get back on the bandwagon and try and make a run of it. Now, the argument could be, Brad, that, like, his time's up soon. Like, because this is his kind of window of wins, isn't it, between kind of February and April throughout his career. And, look, I'm not stupid enough to say that he can't win after that in the year. Like, he'll probably win in July, September, whenever he wants. But
he could just be better, than before.
Yeah.
I think he is.
It's frightening, isn't it?
It's scary, yeah.
You're already seeing the yearly Grand Slam odds on him already. I think that's obviously a stretch.
What are they? I haven't looked.
I didn't. I just saw people.
You just saw people putting them up. All right.
Didn't even reference them. But, like, I guess the only argument at the moment, like, in terms of, like, Grand Slam, because, like, a lot of people will think he's going to go and complete the Grand Slam now. He's still only won the one major, isn't he? Like, he's won two. He's won the one. He's won it both at the Masters. I don't know if his game necessarily. I mean, his game travels everywhere, but, like, there's nothing that sort of suggests he's going to go and win the Open straight away or anything like that. I think that will take some learning and stuff. So, might be a little bit.
That'll be the toughest one for him.
Yeah, I mean, look, PGA is not going to be a problem at some point. The US Open's right out for his street, so
exactly.
I don't know what his record is like in the Open. I don't think of him.
He finished 23rd last year.
Yeah.
I don't know about the year before that.
He's finished 8th in 2021, so he's played well in one already. 8th, 21st, and 23rd in 3 Open Championship starts. So not bad, is it? And he's already been second in the other two. So
it's very steady.
He's going to.
Oh, he'll get there, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll figure it out, a player of his talents. I think the really impressive thing is like the people that he's kind of, I mean, he's dominated both Rory and Ludwig as the two closest challengers at the Masters as well. I think that's the that's the real thing now. It's the quality of opposition that he's beating and holding off all the time. I mean, his first win came by beating Cantlay. I guess you could argue that Kevin Kisner at the match play, Nick Taylor at the Phoenix Open, but otherwise he's only really beaten the best, right? Like Tyrrell, Victor at Bay Hill behind Billy Horschel, Tyrrell again at the Players, Wyndham a couple of times. Like, it's...
The thing is, how long is this going to last for? Because, I mean, Ludwig is just, like, rising at just a ridiculous rate as well, isn't it? He could just get, like, better, start winning, and it could just be between them two, you know?
The thing is, like, the 10, like, as much as we just look at Scheffler, our 10-time PGA Tour winner, he still only started in 2022. Like, it's only over 2 years, so...
Yeah. That's true. Luke. I also think that big swing is just so much more sustainable. Like, it's just so silky. And obviously, Scotty does his own thing, but I can't not look at it and think, how sustainable is that without an injury down the line, you know? And that is the danger.
But already, like, Ludwig's already won one and lost in the playoff on the PGA Tour already, so then comes to the Masters as well. So he's already done everything, isn't he? Running out of superlatives for him. So neither playing in this week's tournament. So that's obviously a bonus for the rest of the field. For that, before we get into the Zurich Classic, Brad, let's look at the ISPS Handa. It's the first DP World tournament for a few weeks now. We're meant to have one in Korea, weren't we, the week after Augusta? And that got taken away.
It's like a long wait, isn't it?
Well, I mean, there's players that haven't played for like 6 weeks. Like it's really poor scheduling. It's terrible. And also, like, it's really hard from our point of view. Like, I think we got off to a, you know, reasonably good start on DP World Tour, and like it's so hard to then sort of capture the run of form when you've got, I mean, when was they had the Indian Open, what, 4 weeks ago? So unless you played in that Indian Open or the Singapore the week before, you've had sort of 6-7 weeks off. And then you think about all the Japanese players, Brad, who I'm sure will sort of cover in detail, like, they've only played one tournament this year. If they're just Japan Tour regulars, they play one tournament. So it really is an event where...
On both fronts, both tour. It should be later in the season, this one.
Thoughts on the course, Brad? I mean, I've realised I'm sort of throwing you under the bus with a new newish golf course. It has been used, hasn't it? They used it for the World Cup of Golf. They used it for this event way back when sort of like Westwood and Clark used to play it. One of the most interesting flags that I saw was Steve Rawlings on Betfair. He pointed out that, you know, and again, that this is Darren Clarke and Lee Westwood, who are European Tour stalwarts, so it might not necessarily mean anything, but they both won at the K Club as well. When you look at the sort of result, you can look at the K Club's results for the 2023 Irish Open, see if there's any crossover in that. But the other thing I quite liked about that, Brad, it wasn't that he'd won at the K Club, but Lucas Herbert won the Irish Open in 2021 and obviously won this event at a different golf course last year. So there could be something too, just kind of tree line tough tests that align with this.
I think so. That's sort of what I've looked at. Like, obviously, it's a heavily tree lined course. So immediately you look at courses like Kenya Open, Galgorm, Valderrama, Belfry, München. The course we saw, the DLF at the Indian Open, I mean, that's another quirky tree line test which rewards accuracy. So they're the sort of courses I look at. Sadau Open possibly, just because it's again accuracy, but yeah, it is just, it's just classic Japan. It's just heavily tree lined, bundles of strategically placed bunkers on the fairway around the green. There's water hazards you need to avoid on, I think, 6 or 7 holes. It's not straightforward. It's definitely going to get the players thinking. It will favour the more accurate players. It's just just going to be a test tee to green, though. That really is. So I can't see the score going over. I'd be surprised if it goes over 15 under, but it's probably more likely to be 10 to 13, I reckon.
Yeah. I think, like, you've mentioned the courses off there, and you mentioned Indian Open recently, things that was a tough test. But, like, I think this season has been a lot of kind of like, this favours the long hitter, this favours the, you know, the people that are happy just to fire it and find it, right? And I think this time, off the back of the Indian Open as well, it's a really good time for these kind of all round players to come into the effect. And I think the biggest challenge is finding the greens. If you don't find the greens, you need to find a creative way to get up and down. And I guess, Brad, there should be opportunity for people to sort of take driver out of their bag if they need to.
Oh, there will be, yeah. But you can get easily in trouble. That's the only issue. So that's why it's going to get the player thinking. Yeah. Can I carry that bunker? And then if you're in it, then you're going to be struggling to get up and make your par. Like, you really will.
Yeah. I think it's one that I've sort of read as well. Like, it's going to be wet on Wednesday. So maybe in the first round you get a little bit of advantage from some of the bigger hitters, but I'm not focusing on that. Like, I just want all round players, people that have played well. It surprised me actually how little we've been to Japan on the DP World Tour front. So obviously a lot of Japanese tour regulars and players that have played on both tours, but from just purely playing in Japan, it's been a long time. So not a lot of people have, you know, Japan golf experience. You know, some that have played in the Zozo, or some that have played in others, but you got to look at kind of like maybe even the China Open for kind of a bit of correlation in terms of just, you know,
just seeing if your game travels, you know, like into Asia. I think that's definitely something to look at. You know, if some people don't show up so far away from home, you know, it's definitely a thing.
Yeah. So without further ado, then, Brad, we've got Christian Bezena out of 14-1, tied with Matthew Pavon. We've got Keita Nakajima at 18-1, Takumi Kanai at 20-1, and then we've got a trio of Sebastian Sonneberg, Jordan Smith, and Yannick Paul at 25-1. The market's kind of corrected now. I thought Pavon should have been favourite over Bezena.
Yeah, although Bezena, this is definitely his type of test. Yeah. And he finished strong at the RBC Heritage as well. But again, Pavon is just gone like a level up, hasn't he? Again at the Masters, brilliant. I agree with you. I think I'd have him. I think it's not much in it though.
It doesn't baffle me that Bezena is so high up. It sort of surprised me he was favourite over the someone just finished 12th in the Masters.
I do agree with that. Yeah.
If it was Pavon that had won at Torrey Pines and then done absolutely nothing since, I'd say, do you know what? Like, fair enough, he's had his sort of go. But he finished the only time he's come back over to the DP World Tour, he's finished 5th at the Singapore Classic and then, you know, 12th at the Masters. It's just ridiculous how good he's good. And like,
it's really crazy, actually. I never saw it coming, to be honest.
And I think, you know, he's still got, it's not like we're talking about someone that's won 4 times since the last time he put these two together, right? Like, he's still won one on each tour, but it just feels like the momentum's all with him and everything's in front of him, whereas we sort of know Bezena how he is. And I've done a full 360 on Bezena this season. I'm really keen on him. And
getting through the wind with him, mate.
Yeah. I do think that there's a potential for him to go and win on the PJ Tour, but I think I'd probably just rather bet that at this point.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Takumi Kanaya, Brad, is your first pick. And I must admit, I was really close, so I'll let you make the case and I'll add
So he's obviously coming into this off a win, which is what you mentioned earlier, the only event they've had in Japan this season, and he won it. It was Token Homemade Cup. He won by 2 shots, and he shot 64 and 65 over the weekend. I think that was his 6th win on the Japanese tour, and it was actually his first one on an easy scoring track. Like the rest of his wins, I think their wins were between 8 under, 13 under. A few weeks ago, he won with a score of 21 under. So it's unlike him. I think we're expecting to see, as I said earlier, like a tougher test this week. And I think that does suit him. He loves tough scoring conditions. He's deadly accurate tee to green. He doesn't boast the length like Semikawa, Nakajima, or Sugiura, you know, like the top young guns of Japan that are coming through. But that's absolutely fine at this course. It will reward accuracy and strategic play, and he has that in abundance. And his record here, it just speaks for itself. Missed cut on his debut, I think it was while he's still an amateur. Then he won on his second time here, fifth, second, and third. That's from his last four appearances. It's just outrageous. And this is his playground. He probably did cartwheels when he found out Gotemba was going to host this co-sanctioned event. I'm sure he was buzzing. It's just an excellent opportunity for him to win his DP World Tour playing rights, which will give him some options going forward, because obviously his goal at the moment is to get to live through the Asian tour. So it will be interesting to see what he does if he does win this week, because he's already notched up a top 10 this year in a man. He's also won in a man last year. But yeah, I'd love to see him do it. I was on him last year in this event where he was in contention but fell away in the last round.
Yeah,
it just feels like he's been around for ages, but he's still only 25 years old. He's obviously, as you always mention, former number one amateur. He's just in excellent form. He keeps getting better, I think, and has a point to prove at this level. He does. So, yeah, he was an easy decision for me this week, Takumi. Yeah.
All those reasons. And I just thought that, like, he's just been forgotten about a bit. Like, mm-hmm. I think, obviously, now he's 20-21 in the betting, and coming to a golf course, he's won on off the back of winning last time out. He then very quickly gets put right back to the top of the fold, right? But mm-hmm. since Nakajima's come over, since Semikawa's come out, you know, I just think they've just gone, you know what, there's two new ones already. And this is just what Japan does, right? Like when it was Ishikawa so many years ago, and then Matsuyama yeah. comes and goes to the floor, and then Nakajima comes, and it's just cyclical that people will just kind of forget about them so quickly. And like, credit to Kanaya, he's just continued with his business, right? Like, he's still, you know, won mm-hmm. twice, I think, on the Japan Tour last season. Perhaps didn't do as much as he wanted to do on the DP World Tour last year, after sort of, I mean, we were talking about him a lot, weren't we, on the, you know, when he first yeah. came in and played DP World Tour. And you know, I don't think he actually played all that much to the end of DP World Tour.
No, he played mainly on the Asian Tour and the Japanese yeah. Tour.
Yeah. Like, he finished 12th in this, as you said. He had a bad one final round. He shot 72, so it wasn't disastrous. And then 28th in the Thailand Classic. So he basically played in Asia. I think he played a BMW International, which, again, really not the right golf course for him. So didn't play as much on the DP World Tour as he played the year before. Not really getting the kind of run of events that he wanted. And all of a sudden now, it's just perfect. Like, get him out here, get him to the course he loves. So if I was taking one from the top, it definitely would have been him. I looked at Jordan Smith, but mm-hmm. I just find it hard with the odds to really trust him. I'd rather take someone that...
And I think Nakajima, you've got to respect him after what he did in India last time out. I just feel like another reason, like, I think Kanaya can sort of get inspiration from that. Obviously, they both know each other very well, growing up as amateurs. So, yeah, I think he can be inspired by that performance from Nakajima last time out, and hopefully he can join him.
And look, I think there's always, like, when you go into the Zozo and you come to these co-sanctioned events, there's always this, all right, which Japanese player are we betting? Right? We always just do it as a sort of...
I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
I love getting behind them.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I think these two just really warrant where they are in the market. And there's some commentary on Kanaya, who I haven't bet, but absolutely understand why. Yannick Paul, Brad.
Yes. Yep, Yannick Paul. I really like him for this one. He's had a fairly decent start to the year, with fourth and eighth place finish in, I think it was United Arab Emirates. And then it's been pretty poor up until then. Like, until last time out in Indy, he did find something. He finished 10th. And I think that's the sort of a performance he can build on. He hit the ball well, tee to green. His irons standing out, as they usually do, 11th on approach. He just came up short of a PGA Tour card last year, and it was obviously in the people were talking about him for the Ryder Cup, and as soon as they did start talking about it and for the Ryder Cup, he sort of fell away.
Yeah.
I think he will want to get a win over the line sooner rather than later to get that dream in motion. Obviously, he's got brought up in America. We played a lot of golf out in America. Lives in Arizona, so I think he would love. It could well be that his brother and him promotion at the same time, because Jeremy, he got a win very early into the. I think it might have been the first event, Korn Ferry Tour season. So, yeah, that would be really cool if they both get promoted at the same time. But, besides the point, I really like his record at the Belfry. It's obviously finished 8th, 16th and 3rd from three starts, which that's another tough tree-line course, which I referenced earlier. And I think that just shows some resemblance to this week's test. He has a runner-up finish at Rincon in Belgium. I mean, that's all about accuracy. His one and only win came in Mallorca, which was a fairly tough test. Certainly wasn't no birdie fest. I mean, I think 15 under was the winning score. His runner-up and 10th in India, another tough strategic course, rewards accuracy. And I just feel as though he ticks a lot of boxes. I mean, he opened up at a massive 33s, and I still think he looked plenty big enough at 25s. And... I don't know, maybe like the he's obviously seen Mount Fiji from the fairways. he could even feel at home. Like, he could even, obviously, bar the desert and colder weather, maybe. But it could give him some good vibes. But yeah, I just feel like he's got the game to go well here. I almost forgot like the main reason. Well, a key reason why as to why I like him is that he impressed on his first visit to Japan last year. Finished. Tied sixth in this event, so yeah, there's a lot to like. I think he's worth a chance in this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I do love the fact you laughed before you even gave that loose correlation of the mountains.
I was like, where am I going with this?
it's anything that helps, mate, is always going to be.
It's just things that go into your mind.
It's like, that's why you get the big.
Sounds so silly though.
That's what it is. No, like it. Yeah, massive Yannick Paul fan. I hope it happens for him again soon, because what you don't want as a player of his talent to just go winless again for a little while. Like it changes the whole perspective of someone like that. You don't want it to fall in the Smith or the Ewan Ferguson bracket or whatever, you know. So it'd be good to see him get back on there soon. Definitely a shout out. And this I think is the problem in the DP World Tour at the moment, right? Like Conor Syme has been in incredible form. Of late, 7th, 4th, and 8th, his last three events. He's had 6 weeks off. This is 7th week playing this week. And, 54 hole leader at the STC Championship, 36 hole leader at Kenya Open, 8th last time at the Johnson Workway Open, and then just had nothing since then.
Yes, breaks enough to put you off, isn't it? I think
that is unfortunately it, mate. Like, I just don't.
Good course for him, though, on paper. I think it's a good course for him.
Interestingly, like, it's a good course for Scots in general, I think. Like, they just, you know, Callum
Hill. They showed up last year.
Callum Hill, Grant Forrest, 3rd and 4th, Robert McIntyre, 6th, David Law, 16th. Like, considering the sample size of players, Scott Jameson, 35th. Like, it's not bad. It's not bad evidence, is it? So, you know, whether there's anything in justice.
Which I find strange, because it's everything. It's like you wouldn't find them sort of courses in Scotland.
Plus, like everything you hear, especially with Robert McIntyre, is they don't want to travel. Like they're quite homely. So, I mean, it's strange. But if there's anything to that, then obviously that definitely points into Conor Syme's direction. I don't think he played in this event last year. So, you know, no real evidence to suggest otherwise, but I think he'll be okay. Again, didn't quite get to him. The one I favoured, and it's just, I mean, it's either your fault, Brad,
that
I'm going to keep losing money on him, or it's going to be your doing and your win, basically, if you like. Sam Bairstow.
Sammy Bairstow, yes.
Sammy Bairstow, 66 to 1, 6 places. 55 to 1, 8 places is still pretty good as well. He's been so good, Brad. I know he was on your radar early, but what I really loved about it, he got off to a really decent start, and he back-to-back 23rd place finishes. One of them was when he shot a final round 65. One of them was when he was fourth going into the final round and fell away. Finishes 13th the following week in Qatar, and then he has two back-to-back missed cuts, and you think, okay, a little bit of test in front of him now, like how is he going to sort of deal with that, a bit of adversary. straight out, Johnson Workwear Open, finishes 15th, 2 67s in the final round, 66, goes to the Singapore Classic, second after 54 holes, should have won that event. There's no getting away from that. He had a four-stroke lead, I think, with six holes to go, lost. And then finished 13th for the Indian Open, where he's fourth after round one, seventh after round three. I don't know what he needs to do to come further down the odds board, Brad. He's,
oh, I know.
He's playing perfect golf, and he's playing well in the region. So it's a good start.
Yeah. Oh, no, I mean, what more can you say? he's just been class, hasn't he, since coming onto the DP World Tour? He's just hitting the ball so well.
Yeah.
And I don't even think we've seen nearly the best of him yet. It's quite scary, really, how far he can go. Love his swing, love his demeanour. I didn't get there with him this week. I actually didn't even make my shortlist, which was the first time, I think, all season. And I think that's mainly because of the Japanese players taking up most of that. You can't say a bad word about him or go against his chances this week, because he's just on such a heater at the moment. So yeah, if none of mine can get over the line, I would love to see him do it.
I think when you take in a couple that you have from the top, like, you have to kind of almost avoid this range, right? Like, and that would probably be the difference, right? Like, that's the difference between playing a 50-60-1 shot than not. And makes perfect sense. Exactly. You're not looking for that type of player. And I just think I've taken the approach of everyone's going to be a little bit rusty. Even the leading contenders are not necessarily they've either proven they haven't really loved this test yet, or they haven't played a lot of golf in this sort of arena. So outside of the two leading Japanese players. So I was quite willing to move further down the board, and Sam there, so was there. It hurt at the Singapore Classic. I'm not going to get away from that, but I just felt like he just dealt with it so well at the Indian Open. Poor final round, obviously, but there's still more to come.
So yeah, very much so.
Mentioned earlier this name, Brad. Your third pick, Ryo Ishikawa, is 70-1, seven places. Again, another one, a bit like your Kanaya pick. Definitely caught my eye. Purely, course form is enough to do that. Look on top tips. But yeah, you go ahead and sell him.
Yeah, I mean, as you just said, like, the course form is immediately the thing that catches the eye. But yeah, he's 19 wins in Japan. I mean, that's outrageously good. He's towered off in recent years with just one win in his last 4 years. But I mean, he's still been an ever-present up the top of leaderboards on the Japanese tour. And despite not finding a winner last year, he was much more consistent. He had one runner-up finish, a third, six further top tens. And yeah, he might not be the same force as he was when he was younger and first came on the scene, but this guy can still play. He also just has experience in abundance, and he won't be fazed by playing with DP World Tour players, whereas other locals in the field this week will be, a whole new experience for them. And he had his first outing of the year a few weeks ago. He got better each round. He finished 41st, and he hit the ball superbly, ranked 9th in ball striking. His short game let him down, which is unlike him. But yeah, like Kanaya, he has an exceptional record at this course. He won the Taiheia Masters on 3 occasions here. He also has 5 further top tens. It's just a ridiculous record, and he just knows exactly what is required to win here. I'm sure he was also buzzing when he heard the news that it was going to be co-sanctioned. The co-sanctioned event was going to be held here. And do you know what really caught my eye was how he impressed at the Zozo Championship. He finished tied 4th in a much stronger field, which gives me the impression he's hungry for more. Oh, man, wouldn't it be great if he could win? Oh, it would be such a popular win in Japan. And I think even our side as well, it would be, because he is a big name that we've all grown up with.
So, 100%, mate. Like, I think another one, again, he is that bit older. So when we say that Kanaya has been kind of thrown to the side a little bit at 25, like, Ishikawa is 32. This is a guy who's playing on the PGA Tour, right? Like, semi-regularly. And we talk about a player who's 32 years of age, but he's got 3 wins and 4 top 10s at the golf course. Another one of them is a second. Like, doesn't feel like he should have been able to play it that many times, but that just goes back to how, you know, how long he's been on the scene. And, you know, he won a tournament as an amateur. And, you know, as a lot of Japanese players or high quality Japanese players do. But, like, I just think the only pause I had on him was the fact that he's had that really extended break like all these Japanese players had, and then he struggled last week. Well, I say struggled, he got better
each round, which caught my eye, I think. Getting off the rust. Yeah, I think the fact that he's played that event and obviously got better, and the stats were good as well, how reliable they are, but it's what they are. Suggested that he had a good ball striking week and just was cold with the putter and around the green, so which is not usually something he struggles on. I know he's going to know these greens at the back of his hand, so
he probably knows this tournament better than he knows the back of his hand. I would love to see it just as a golf fan. I remember quite fondly Ishikawa playing on the PGA Tour. He's got top 30 in all the majors. Just a high profile player that, like you said, it'd be amazing to see what the reaction is to him. Like, do Japanese fans want him to go and kind of get his biggest win of his career, or do they want Nakajima's story to carry on? It's a very interesting dynamic, I think. I think they're just so fanatic about all their players that no matter who.
I think they'll take any Japanese winners, to be honest.
Like, they're just all in. Like, it could be anyone, couldn't it? It's a really exciting time for Ishikawa. Disclaimer: yesterday I did the show with Sky on the Mayo Media Network, and I put up Sean Norris. He was 130-1 over there. He's now best price 80-1. Generally speaking, with the places, he's 70-1. So that's, I think, enough of a reason, Brad, for me to kind of jump off him. But I'll give the case that I gave on Sean Norris. It's purely like there's probably 2, 3, 4 times a season where Sean Norris is going to be in contention. It's going to be mainly in South Africa, but the best of his career has come in Japan. And it's for that reason only that I'm really looking for him. You know, we talk about DP World Tour regulars or you know, South African player regulars coming over here and how they'll fit in. I mean, he's been, what, 6th, 3rd, 2nd, 15th, and 37th here in his last 5 starts. Even when he was 37th last year, he shot a second round 65, and he was 9th after 2 rounds. He was 15th before that. So he's the perfect foreign candidate, if you like, for this event. I just, when those odds came in a bit further down, I was less intrigued.
Again, another one that's just not been playing for a long period, isn't he? Yep. But Christ, he was in really good form when he finished up, nearly got the win. I was on him that week at the Johnson Workwear Open as well.
That's the thing, isn't it? It's just that break. It's such a killer. With how it happens, because you know he finished 6th, I think, at the Cape Town Open. Had a couple of weeks, and then finished 24th where he was first round leader at the SCC, second after 2 rounds, and then goes and finishes second at Johnson Workwear. So he was in great form. And look, if you can get triple digits on the exchange, maybe just going up. We don't fit in, but you know, it's certainly somewhere where he feels comfortable winning. That's the main thing.
Exactly. Comfortability in Japan is massive. What he's achieved out here, I think, it appealed to me. As I said to you earlier, he opened up 125s, and his price has proper come in now. But I still think even at 70s, you can entertain it. But it's not as easier as a grab, because I mean, in the triple digits, then you can sort of account for that break, can't you, a bit more?
I had 6 players in the India stadium doing that show. I got carried away, and I think he's just a casualty of wanting to keep it down to 5 for this. And the direct replacement is a person to beat with a Johnson Workwear, and as Matteo Manassero, like, just a very good goal for Brad, who I don't really understand what he needs to do to come further down his odds board. Like, I know he's inconsistent, that's just who he is now. I think what people are waiting for is for him to be the player that he was in the first 4 years of his career as a pro, right? That was not only winning every year, but was consistent every year. And he just might not get back to that because his game doesn't work in that way. Like, it's a throwback game in a modern era where he hasn't got this distance. Where the reason he struggled for so long is because he went chasing that and that broke his swing. And I think the reason he's got back to the way he was, Brad, is he's humbled himself and gone, you know what?
Yeah, back to basics, yeah.
I was good at what I was doing. Let's keep it that, and I'll probably just have to take the opportunities that come to me. And you can see that on the Challenge Tour last year. Like, he had the two wins, and then he basically did very little else, right? Like, he had a 7th and a 13th, but otherwise he was really struggling, like, for consistency.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been like that this year. He's been pretty dismal on the DP World Tour, and then he's won one and finished 5th and the other here at the Indian Open. And the 1st and 5th is what really caught my eye. And then you look at the fact that, you know, two of those 4 wins they had the DP World Tour straight off the bat came in Singapore and Malaysia. So we know he plays well in Asia. He's mm-hmm. got another couple of top 4s, 2nd and a 4th in the Hong Kong Open. Like, clearly just loves this part of the world. It's not Japan specifically. I think he's only played in Japan maybe once and it wasn't that impressive. But, like, I just love what he does. He's playing well, I think, in China as well. So, yeah, I just the quality of player, Brad, and what he's shown in the last couple of weeks the last couple of starts, should I say, with the win, obviously, at Johnson Work, where we're so hard to follow up at 61, isn't it? He shoots 67, 66 on the weekend, and then leads after round 1 the Indian Open and sort of hangs around all week inside the top 5, I thought was just testament to the player he is.
Yeah, 100%. And you know what, his game travels, and I think he's well suited to this test. So, yeah, I can see it. I can really see it. And I feel as though if he did just get another win, that would also just blow up the golf scene, wouldn't it? We can take a comeback win, which is still emotional. If he got 2 and then he's staring at a PGA Tour card all of a sudden, it's like, what a turnaround. I think the biggest comeback story.
And like, the thing is, like, he's still, I think he's younger than me, which is potentially depressing for me. I'm pretty sure he's at least in the same age. He's 31 as well, so he's born a month after me.
Yeah, Ishikawa country. They're both similar age.
He's a young gun still, really, when you consider it. And he's got, you know, 5 DP World Tour wins to his name. I vividly remember the one at Wentworth. I was there. I bet on him. It was in the playoff against Simon Conn and Mark Warren. So, you know, a lot of good memories with him. Come back to the fore now over the last couple of years. And I'm ready for him to go in and get an 80-1. I'm really surprised 80-1, 6th place is still available based on what he's done. Like, I wouldn't bat an eyelid if he was 40-1. I probably would bet him, but I can't believe he's 80-1 still. So, to do it.
Price.
Next one for me, Brad, and this definitely goes into the we need him to put the driver away potentially, is Hao Tong Li. His actual data suggests he's driving it okay.
He's driving it better. Yeah, he's driving it. Yeah.
It's just watching him. Like, he looks like he's got a loose driver in him. But what really impressed me, and I think is being overlooked, is, like, he had that incredible run, didn't he, at the start of the season where he was 14th at the Dubai Invitational. I bet him then at the Dubai Disc Classic he was 7th. I think he was, like, 100-1. He was, like, 400-1, then like 50-1 or something. He went like 400-1, 100-1, 50-1, didn't he? Very quickly, the first 3 events. Was disappointed at the Raz when I stuck with him at 50-1. Went to the Qatar Masters, finished 16th. He's had that little 4-week break. And then this is where it starts to look terrible. So he goes back to Macau, shoots a 63 in round 1 and finishes 60th. But I'm still happy to focus on the 63. Gets to the Singapore Classic, opens with a 67. He's 9th after round 1, 13th after round 3, finishes 43rd. And then last week in Saudi, you know, 10th after round 1, 2nd after round 2, 3rd after round 3, and then finished the 17th. It's very clear, Brad, there's a 4-round problem with Hao Tong Li.
There is a 4-round problem. Yeah, I was on him last week and I was like, oh, it looks like a certain place.
Yeah. But what I think is underrated is, like, we talk about how Hao Tong Li has struggled probably since, you know, when he was in contention. They focused him on the range, weren't they, at the PGA Championship, right? He's had a really, really bad time of it. What I think is underrated is just, like, I think he made like 2 cuts last year, right? Like 2 weekends, everything else was miscut or withdrawal. And when I looked at, you know, where he'd played well, it was here. Well, not this course, but this event. He had 1 finish inside the top 40 and he finished 31st in this event. It's got to be just a bit of home comfort, right? Not home comfort. He's obviously from China as opposed to Japan, but like just being closer to home. He's travelled well, you know, and gone home well in the past in Asia. He's playing, you know, some really good golf. What's holding him back at the moment is around the greens. We know that, and if he starts missing greens here, he could be in trouble. But another one, I just think because those finishing positions at the moment aren't what they, you know, want to be, just getting overlooked a little bit. I mean, he won the Volvo China Open. Going to be a lot of pressure on him to do that. He's finished second at the Shenzhen International again. Another one that's going to be a lot of pressure on him. Maybank, he was fifth. You know, he's when he's gone back to, you know, China or Asia, he's done really well. And I see no reason why that won't carry on. So 90 to 1, 6 places on Gomez Paltonly.
Like it. He might want to win it just in spite of the Japanese, to be honest. There's quite a bit of tension between them two countries.
Yeah, maybe he's even better at that. I mean, another little factor I can definitely get on board with.
But yeah, no, he was putting the lights out. Well, he has been just recently, and then he'll just miss. It's the long ones. He's been incredible putting from distance, but then he will still miss the odd little one. But yeah, look, he's been playing a lot better. And I think the main thing for him is he's not missing cuts at the moment, which I think is massive, because that he was just miscut after miscut, wasn't it?
How do you get yourself up for golf if you're doing it every week? And
exactly, it's been a real change in fortunes recently. So hopefully it keeps going.
I think there's definitely a win coming in his near future, and I hope it's here. This one's a left field selection, Brad. This one's the one where I think it's one of those. Maybe I'm galaxy braining it a little bit too much. Maybe I've latched onto something, as I mentioned earlier, too quickly. But I mentioned Steve Rawlings flagging the Irish Open at the K Club.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense, right? Grant Forrest was fourth in this event last year, third at the Irish Open at K Club last year, and he was crucially, I thought was the real added wrinkle that I liked, was fourth behind Lucas Herbert at the Irish Open that he won, who obviously won this event last year. Then factor in the second in China on the Challenge Tour, 11th in Kenya, where we know accuracy is key. I thought there was just a decent amount about Grant Forrest that appealed. Now, he did withdraw last time out. That's a concern. When I looked back over his Instagram, couldn't find anything other than the fact that he got married right before the start of 2024. I don't know if he's just been distracted with that, newly wed, and I think he's one that's getting frustrated with the schedule and not being able to play weeks in a row, right? So I just think getting back to a golf course, he's had a few weeks off to get over whatever that withdrawal was, 6 weeks ago, whatever it was now. So, bit of a rogue one, maybe, but 100 to 1, I think Grant Forrest was an improving player, wasn't he, last year? And
he was, very much so.
I think, obviously, for good reason, he's being forgotten about a bit this season because of his play, but a good golf course, I think, could be for him.
Mm-hmm. And he just picks up results everywhere. Another one where his game travels. He's got a good record in Kenya as well. Another tree line track. So, yeah, obviously the withdrawal thing, I have no idea what went on there. That's the only concern for me. Yeah.
I just think I'm just hoping it's been long enough, whatever it was, that maybe he just got pissed off, to be honest. I'm fine.
Yeah. Quite possibly.
So yeah,
it is one of them courses as well. If you've just got off to a terrible start, you're like, nah, I've had enough.
I think didn't he shoot like 80 or something?
I think he did.
You know what? Who's going to hang around when
it's quite easy? Yeah, exactly. And it is an easy course to shoot 80. We see it a lot.
In Singapore, it opened with around a 66, and then just went 73, 73, 77. Like.
Mm-hmm.
Then goes and shoots an 80 in round one. He's probably just like, you know what? Oh, I need a breather, which is hilarious after he's had 6 weeks off before that. But, you know, the form isn't there at the moment, but I just think the course is good. He's had 3 weeks to sort of compose himself. So, we shall see.
Mm-hmm.
Final pick for you, Brad, in this event.
Yes, so I'm going to take a flyer at Lucas Nemex, who came back from injury in Singapore with an impressive tied 11th finish. He ranked fourth tee to green. And I did back him the following week in India, as he He seems to enjoy a tough challenging test, which rewards accuracy. So I thought I'd chance him, but he had an off week. He was poor tee to green, but I'm going to stick with him here, as this does seem like his cup of tea. He's fifth at the Kenya Open, as I've said, another tree line course. Ninth at Valderrama, strategic tree line course. And I like his fifth at the Open, the French Open, the Golf National. That's another tough, quirky test. But the one I like is 13th at the BMW International Open, which is another tree line parkland. Hoshino finished third at Munchen, Norris fifth, Kazuki Higa 10th, and Kanaya 17th. And they've all played well at this week's Katemba. So Munchen could be the course to look at. He also has a fifth at Galgorm Castle on the Challenge Tour. Again, tree lined. I think this is exactly what he is after. He played in Japan for the first time in this event last year. He was coming into it off two missed cuts and was 26th going into the final round, finished 35th. I also really like that he's been keeping himself busy during the break back home in Austria. He competed in a four-round competition a couple of weeks ago called the Audi Circuit, which they did last year as well. It's played on three different courses, like the best players in Austria. And Nemec's won comfortably by four shots. And, you know, that could just be the sort of thing that gives him a boost coming into this week. And with all the course correlation, I really just think he's a bet this week. Yeah, I think at, what is he, 250 to one?
Yeah, 250, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's great each way value. Let's see how he goes.
250 with the seven places, I think, with Coral Brad as well. So.
Yeah.
Place there. So I mean, look, he's one of those players I think can be anything. Still not sure whether we know what he is.
I think this is him. I think this is exactly him. This is kind of like where it's, he hasn't got that much distance. I feel like a steady Eddie.
I like it. Wish his name was Eddie, that would have worked. Steady Lucas doesn't really have the same ring to it, does it?
It doesn't.
Steady Nemi, maybe, that sounds interesting. There we go. We'll see what he is on Sunday.
Probably not steady.
Yeah. See him on Friday, maybe, for the last time.
Yeah, still on Friday.
Brad, if I had not been waiting a few minutes for Sky in a call yesterday, I wouldn't have probably got this far down the board. But I'm really glad I did. So Takahiro Hitaji is 400-1, six places. He was 500-1 when I put the tweet out on 888. That's, you know, quickly gone. Nothing to do with me. I think it was probably going anyway. But 400-1, six places. You can still get 300-1, seven places. You can do what you like with him, really. You can go and get 600-1, I think, with three places if you want to on Bet365. Do what you like. Takahiro Hitaji, Brad, you probably know a little bit better than I do, but
yeah,
he'd never won anywhere. And then he comes and wins the New Zealand Open. Now, he did win because I think it was Hen, wasn't it? Three putted the last. So we don't know what would have happened potentially if he'd got to that playoff. But he'd impressed really, you know, massively. He'd shot 65 in the second round to get into contention in 12. And then shot 66, 67 over the weekend to win his first tournament. So I love that about him. He's then played in that first of Japan event of the year at the Token Home Meet, and he finished 23rd. He was 7th after round 1, 18th after round 3, because he shot a 66 on both days, finished with a 69. And then when you look at his course form, Brad, 33rd on his first start, 4th on his second start, he was 18 hole and the 36 hole lead, and he was 2nd going into the final round. Again, he's not won at this point, so not a massive surprise that he fell away on Sunday. Average return, finishing 41st on his third start. And then last year, he comes back first after round 1, second after round 2, shoots a 76 on the Saturday and then finishes with a 68. It's very clear to me he had absolutely no confidence in his game to win on those two occasions that he's been in front. I just think even if it's, you know, a relatively low level event of winning the New Zealand Open, I just think that's enough sort of confidence boost to say, you know what, if I find myself in this position again, I'll take advantage of it. That's the hope I've got. When you look at sort of towards the end of 2023 as well, you finished third in the Japan Open Golf Championship, you're second for Rio Ishikawa there as well, you know, but to bear in mind, Sean Norris was eighth in that. So we've had, you know, some top tier players. Nakajima was 10th. I don't know if Matsuyama played in it. He didn't play very well. He did, but you know, there was some top quality players in it. Taji was third there, five short of the winner, Iwasaki. Then he comes to the Dunlop Phoenix tournament, which we know attracts decent players. Again, Yuta Segura is someone that's being talked about a lot this week. He obviously won that and was highly talked about. And it was Taiga Semikawa and Keita Nakajima that finished tied second. But it was Hitaji that finished with a final round 66 and shot 69-66 over the weekend, which was better than those three in front of him. Just got off to a slow start. So, you know, big finishes in that field was Hideki Matsuyama in 10th, Brooks Koepka in 15th. You know, it was if the gala was 31st, Wyndham Clark 37th. This was no joke, this tournament. So I just think not only has he got really good, you know, signs at this golf course, twice being the opening round leader, a couple of times being in contention, he's improving. The win is obviously his highest OWGR performance. Yeah. He's got two of those top six finishes on OWGR, both at the end of last year. Second and fourth. The second was at the Kansai Open Golf Championship, behind Semikawa. So he's slowly but surely learning how to contend in golf tournaments, and he's now coming back to one that he's played so well at. I've basically convinced myself, Brad, that he's going to win. So he's 400 to 1 each way. He's 200 to 1 first round leader. The first round leader is probably, this feels a little bit like when we did Horikawa. Do you remember at the Zozo?
Yeah. We both won him, weren't we?
We were so happy.
I remember you messaged me. You said, I can't believe Takiro Hataji is going to win on the DP World Tour this week. And I said, I can't believe it. He was the sixth name on my shortlist. I didn't end up taking him. But I echo everything you said. And do you know what the thing what I liked the most is his win in New Zealand, his performance in another co-sanctioned event. He didn't really have any experience outside of Japan. You could have got any price you liked that week for him. Like, really, I think he was massive odds. And him winning that is just going to give him so much confidence. And he's got a good record here. As you said, he gets off to a good start. So I've got to have some action on him. I think I might have to join you on first round leader.
First Japanese player to win the New Zealand Open, which I don't know if that necessarily. I mean, yeah, they've got headlines, didn't it? So
they get a lot of them go over to play it. So I'm surprised it hasn't happened sooner.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would never have guessed it would have been him. So it was a brilliant achievement for him, and it's gonna, as I said, just do wonders for his confidence into something like this.
I think that's all it is, right? Like I honestly don't think winning that level of tournament means you're suddenly destined for greatness, right? Like, you have to put it into context of like what it is. Like, it was a relatively low ranked tournament, but it's just he's now got the belief of, okay, I've done it over the weekend, I've got the win, and I'm now coming back to courses that I know and love and have been in contention towards the end of last. He's still like 30 years old. Like, he's obviously one that we haven't really focused on because we've got 20-year-olds and 25-year-olds.
Yeah, no, exactly. He's been about a little while. He's also the biggest hitter. Well, him and Riki Kamamoto on the Japanese tour. He hits it an absolute mile. So he'll be clubbing down a lot of the time. Yeah.
That's what I found funny when I looked at his on the Japan.
Another profile.
Yeah, they've showed a profile. It's just a direct arrow.
It'll tell you his blood type.
Yeah, which I find really weird. Like, how can they tell his blood type? I can't.
It's so weird. Why do we need to know that?
There must be some sort of weird thing in Japan where everyone has to publicly disclose their blood type or something. But yeah, I'll go and get my blood checked on Sunday and donate some if he wins. Because. it's unbelievable. I'm just convinced he's going to play well. Like, I mean, look, he's winning on the cards, potentially not, but like,
what about a top 40 bet as well?
Yeah, I've put him in there. I've put him in top 40. He was 4-1 yesterday. I think that's potentially coming a little bit now.
There might be more out now. It's still only Sky bet 365. Yeah, I was hoping maybe Paddy Power or Unibet normally get involved in top 40.
He just feels like to me. And again, look, it might be that top 40 is all you really need to do, right? But like, the price.
I think you've got to have a go at first round leader with his record for sure.
Yeah, I'm going with both. I'm all in on him, so I don't really care what happens. And I'm to be honest, like even if it goes haywire, I was happy to pay to find out. Like it's just a good opportunity, I think, on a you know, there's been some really good names, you know, thrown out there. I mean, I just mentioned one of them that won the tournament that he played so well in, Brad. But it's to me, like whether it's Yuta Sugiura or it's, you know, one that's obviously been mentioned a couple of times.
Another one. Again, Kenzai, is it Kenzai Hirata? He showed up at the Zozo out of nowhere. Yeah. Like he was riding some good form from the Japanese tour. And he finished, I think, might have been tied 12th in the end or tied 10th, but I mean that's a massive achievement in that level of field, like beating those PGA Tour players. I mean, seeing something like that's what he was considered as well at 300-1.
Yeah.
You know, because some players, the fact that you've done that will give you the like in a mix of players like Hataji, you know, with all the Australian and other Asian Tour players that were in that event and New Zealand players. You know, he'll get so much confidence that he's beaten them. And I think someone obviously like Hirata, who's done it on the PGA Tour, beating a bunch of top players a lot better than him. And well, in terms of like world ranking.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think you've got to look at performance in co-sanctioned defence, which obviously Hataji's won one. Kenzai Hirata, another one I was just mentioned, he performed well. Ryo Ishikawa, fourth. I think seeing that makes great appeal for these kind of events like that we got this week.
Yeah, I think to that point, Brad, like Hiroshi Iwata was the one that played so well here last year or in this event. Like he's got WGC form, he's got Pebble Beach form. I mean, he's a bit of an elder statesman.
Yeah, very experienced.
But then you had, you know, we focus on Kanaya and Nakajima because they played as well, but you had Asagi and Izumida and Inamori. Like, no, we didn't have them finish inside the top 11, and obviously you need, you know, top 6 or 7 to pay out, but they were right there. I was only a couple of shots adrift, right? So yeah, really, really happy to find out on that. So that's the end of the ISPS Hander. I thought that was enough of a crapshoot, but we're going to go over to the Zurich Classic.
Big time crapshoot.
Yeah, where it's just, yeah, I mean, it's just whatever. I mean, Cantlay and Schauffele are 9-2, McIlroy and Lowry 15-2, Thigala and Zalatoris 17-2, Morikawa and Kitayama 14-1. Brad, what do we do?
Just
enjoy it. I don't know. I mean,
I like this event, but obviously it's just not the most desirable event to bet on. Like, I just the angles I considered, obviously find a pair that either have history of playing well in this event or just have good chemistry. Another one is that both players have shown good recent form coming into the event, and then I looked at potential pairings that complement each other's games. You know, both have different strengths, and I think, what more can you do than consider them options? And then just look at the odds board and just pick a few. Don't get too carried away. I like long shots in this. I just personally, even though they don't usually do well here, I'm not one for trends. I think there is some, I think anyone could win this. I think it's completely a bit random, to be honest.
Yeah, I do too. And look, the only success I've ever had in this, and I probably remind everyone every single year because it's the only success I've ever had in it, but like I just paired up Horschel and Piercy because Piercy, they're both hitting the ball well, and Horschel could nail parts and Piercy couldn't. Whatever way around it was that year, like it was as simple as that. So if you can find someone like, Taylor Montgomery leads strokes game putting.
Christ, he's been awful though. Yeah. He has been so. I looked at Montgomery. I think he's with Griffin.
He's been
coming off a good performance at the Corrales, and I was like, I could see that working, but why is? I mean, his numbers, Montgomery, are just Peter Green are just the worst I've ever seen. I think.
And Ben Griffin's like 118th in approach, so we won't worry so much about that one. And then the other one was like, I always think of Keith Mitchell as this streaky putter who, you know, can take advantage of Joel Damon's iron play recently. it actually turns out Mitchell and Damon are 11th and 14th in approach, but they're both well in the hundreds in terms of strokes gained putting. So I do still think that Mitchell can get streaky with the putter and you know, maybe make that team work.
What do you make of the Fitz brothers? I mean, obviously he'll want to get it done for his brother.
That's all it is, though, isn't it?
Like, I think there's too much emotion there. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I can't get on board with 28s even, and I know that might be seem quite big, but again, chemistry, and they played well here last year, but they didn't play well in the alternate shot. They really didn't. But he is a better player than he is last year. He's only getting better, Alex, isn't he? But yeah, I couldn't commit at that price.
I think the one that I thought immediately, like, I thought, who is a good iron player that, you know, doesn't make as much many putts as he needs to, was Tom Hoagie, right? And when I looked, he's actually ranked higher than Maverick Menealy in the putting. There's only a couple of places, but actually Hoagie's been, you know, 30th in strokes gained passing. He's been pretty solid. So, you know, Hoagie and McNealy potentially from the top are interesting, but God, just...
I felt for Hoagie watching him finishes round at the RBC Heritage, just getting that 9 on the final hole. Oh, it was painful watch. I felt for him.
I think let's just give some bets on this. I don't think it needs.
I've got some ready as when you want them.
I'm going to put one out there, and I'm going to put Bryce Garnett and Sepp Straka at 33-1.
I like that one. I do like that one.
I think with how Garnett has played, he won the Puerto Rico Open. He won the he finished 18th in the Heritage, which actually, when you think about him playing so well last week, you think he was playing in Corrales because that's his sort of tournament. He actually finished 35th in the Players as well, which is a good sign based on the course, right? You then look at the fact that he's been 4th in this event before, he's been 11th in this event before. So I like Bryce Garnett and Sepp Straka. So that's one for me. And I think the other one is probably Taylor Moore and Matthew Neesmith for me at 50-1. Finished 4th here last year. Taylor Moore, you know, incredible run of consistency. Whether it's leading to much output remains to be seen. But, you know, he challenged not so long ago. So I like those two. Those two is kind of like, I think they're good value at the top of the market. I think they're the ones that kind of stand out. 33-1, Garnett and Straka, 50-1, Taylor Moore, Matthew Neesmith. In terms of just fun partnerships, I want to see Brad and just see how they do. I like Thriston, Lawrence and Potgieter. I just think the Potgieter is just going to absolutely, Aldrich Potgieter is just going to smash it everywhere. He's already won the Korn Ferry Tour this season. And Thriston might just have that kind of little bit of finishing edge for him that can kind of help him off and rein things in a bit. In my head, I'm thinking that Norman and Campillo.
I love that pairing, I gave them a good look. Yeah, because Campillo played well last week. I thought he might like Corrales. And
I put him up Corrales for the reasons that I put Valimaki up, in the sense they both play well on the Paz Palom, right? The thing that concerned me in my head, I thought Campillo would be the putter of the group, and it turns out neither of them are the putter of the group. So that is my only concern, is actually they don't really complement each other, in a sense that I think they'll both miss the hole. But, you know, it's still an interesting pairing, I think. But yeah, those are the people that have kind of been on my radar. But I'll let you kind of wrap off a couple of things.
I was just going to, just kind of looking at the odds bars, looking at Wallace and Ollison for quite a while, and then I just realized I went on to Wallace's Instagram, and he's coming back from injury, and I didn't even, so I soon moved past them, but I did give them a good look. I can imagine them being like a gutsy pairing, you know. I quite like two winners there, but yeah, anyway, for the who I'm actually taking, I like KH Lee and Michael Kim. Obviously Kim's coming off a good result at Corrales, tied 14th, hit the ball well, tee to green. Lee has been showing flashes this season, 4th Cognizant and 9th at the Valspar. He wasn't too bad last week either, just a final round cost him. They've both shown up in this event in the past, albeit different partners, and
going off Kim's Twitter, they seem pretty pally as well. Like, he's really raving over KH Lee's game. So yeah, I thought that was, they were an all right price. I think they might be 50-1 now, but annoyingly, Odds Checker have got, oh no, they've come back. 66-1 Six yeah. places. There you go. Brilliant. And then I like Smalley and Schmid. I really like them too. I think it's a really cool pairing. But again, they both played well at Corrales last week. Smalley was 6th, Schmid was 11th. I like that they've had some experience in this event before. Smalley missed a cut in 2022 in his only appearances. And Schmid was tied 26th last year with Fratelli. I don't have a clue if they have much of a relationship off the course. But I really like the idea of these two teaming up, two studs. Yeah. And then I've gone with Phillips and Bridgman. I think 90-1 Skybet might be the best, but I haven't seen anyone. It's, again, Odds Checker's playing up. But yeah, two rookies, which doesn't usually go down well here. But I just love the idea of these two players teaming up, a bit like Smalley and Smith. Phillips has already settled into life on the PGA Tour, has already been in contention. Bridgman is still finding his feet, but he's getting there. He's had 4 top 30 finishes in his last 6 starts. He was really impressive on the Korn Ferry Tour last year, so he's really consistent. So it's only a matter of time. I think they're 2 future PGA Tour winners. So yeah, maybe they can celebrate their first win together this week. But I actually, the one that I really like is Taran and Skins at 200-1. And just because Skins has been grinding to get his PGA Tour card for so many years, and he's just wasted no time. Now he's here. He's taken full advantage of his opportunity, twice in contention this year at the Cognizant Classic and Houston Open. Ended up finishing 4th and 7th. He's just playing the best golf of his career, 42 years of age. He teams up again with Taran. They were together in 2022 in this event. And yeah, Taran's been struggling big time. Like, he really has been. He finished, he's missed. He's only made 2 cuts. Sorry, my notes are all jumbled up. Only made 2 cuts from 10 starts. His best finish being 69th before last week. And he finished tied 23rd at Corrales. Which I think will be a huge boost to his confidence, and he just now has something to build on. And as I said, they teamed up in 2022, they finished tied 34th. I like that they've got some experience playing together. I think they're good pals, and they're also 2 different players, as we were saying earlier. Like, it's nice to have that to complement each other, 2 different styles. Like, Skin is an excellent iron player, whilst Taran hits it a country mile. So yeah, they should complement each other in this format. And I think 200-1 might be the best price. And look, it's a massive long shot, but I like it. I do like it. You never know.
You never know, mate. That is the thing. I think the one thing you would never know is why on earth Eric Cole has picked his caddy's 65-year-old dad to be his partner this week.
That's so rogue.
Russ Cochran has most recently been winning in Jamaica. Didn't know they played golf in Jamaica, so that's probably why he's winning over there in 2013.
I have no idea either. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that probably tells you the state of Russ Cochran's game. I don't know how that happens. I love seeing who gets paired with people and just trying to find out the reason why. I mean, that one kind of makes sense, I guess, like his family ties.
It's not like no one wanted to go with Tosti, because he's just such a bit of a bell end. And it's kind of nice to with him. As I was looking at that one, like, I'm sure no one wanted to go with him.
Like, you get the classic, like, Charlie Hoffman, Nick Watney. They're fairly common pairing, aren't they? Yeah. You just get, I mean, Kisner and Brown are in there. That's great. Probably roll back the years for a couple of holes. It's you just get some weird ones. Cameron Champ and MJ Duffy.
Very random.
Very strange.
I like Patton Kizzire. He loves it here. He played well here before. And Ben Coles obviously won the Corn Ferry Tour Order of Merit. I did give them a good look. Didn't quite get there, but yeah, he played quite well last week, Patton.
Yeah, I could just sit here naming names. That would be my approach.
You don't want to get too heavily invested in this one, do you?
No, Ekavaria and Grazeman are both throwing flashes at some point this season, but they're not going to win as a pair, I don't think, in this tournament. So I'm purely going to stick at two, and I'm going to go with Bryce Gunnett and Sepp Straka at 33-1, and I'm going to go with Taylor Moore and Matthew Neesmith at 50-1. And rather than you doing what I do and just keep listing names, you've actually given us your four teams there. So everyone's kind of got the information that they need to make, I guess, informed decisions on the Zurich Classic. I mean, it's
informed as you can.
It's decisions, isn't it? Is the kind of it. But Brad, I think it's a really, really fun couple of events, right? Like I'm looking forward to them.
I love both events. Obviously, one of them's not so great to bet on, but here we are.
That one looks great to bet on, and really picturesque golf course as well. So looking forward to it. Let's summarise picks. ISPS Handa Championship. I've got Sam Bairstow, 66-1 is my shortest pick of the week. Matteo Manassero, 80-1, 6 places. Houghton Lee, 90-1, 6 places. Grant Forrest, 100-1, 7 places. And then this week's winner, Takahiro Hataji. I have to keep reminding myself of his name, which is the best thing about it. 400-1, 6 places. I still like the 300-1, 7 places as well. 200-1 first round leader as well, all in on Takahiro Hataji. Brad, ISPS Handa Championship picks for you.
I have gone with Takumi Kanaya up the top, 20-1, 7 places, Corowa Ladbrokes. I've then gone with Yannick Poole, 25-1, same place, Corowa and Ladbrokes, 7 places. And then I've gone with Ryo Ishikawa, and the best price is also with Coral and Labrix. If you take with Labrix, you can boost all of these.
Nice.
And this week's winner, Lucas Nemex, who you can get again with Labrix and Coral, 7 places. So there you go, nice and easy, all with Labrix or Coral, 7 places. So.
Who wins out of our two picks down the bottom there? That'd be certainly a little
tough one to call. It's definitely between one of them two, though.
Yeah, one of the two.
The one thing I know for sure.
See, the reverse forecast is coming in. And then we've just given our picks in the Zurich Classic. We don't need to recap those. Right. Thank you very much as ever. Kept you longer than we thought for the Zurich Classic and the ISPS Cup. But shows are enjoying talking about the golf. We've got one more event on the DP World Tour before that pisses off again for another few weeks. So might as well enjoy it while it lasts.
Yeah.
And then I don't know where we're at. Is it Wells Fargo next week on the PGA? I think.
I've lost track.
I've lost track. I think I only really know that because I'm sure I saw someone tweet about it yesterday. So I'm pretty sure it is. No, it's not. It's the Byron Nelson next week.
Oh, lovely.
Wells Fargo is a couple of weeks away yet. So that Myrtle Beach Classic in between as well. So that'd be interesting. Brad, thank you very much as ever, mate. And good luck with your bets this week.
Yeah. Cheers, Tom. And good luck, everyone.
Yeah.